In chapter 6, which is where we're starting, if I could come up with a title for these few verses as we start off in Galatians chapter 6, as we close out the book of Galatians, this would simply be the title. Nothing fancy, right? It sums up everything, I think, in the next few verses. Others. Others. There was in about 1910, it was Christmas Eve. And there was a guy by the name of William Booth, or you guys might know him by General William Booth. And he was the founder of Salvation Army. Now, today, Salvation Army's... Oh, Lord, tell me not to say that. Salvation Army is a little different than it was back then. Back then, they were a force for righteousness and Jesus and holy living, like anointed by God. Things were moving. Well, back in 1910, it was Christmas Eve, and they had gathered an international conference. And there were thousands of delegates there. Thousands of soldiers had poured out their lives all through the month of December. This was supposed to be an encouragement. And General William Booth was supposed to be there, but he was so old. He was so old, and he was kind of invalid. He wasn't able to make it. And of course, this is not like today where he can just do a video conference. He sent, you know, a telegram, and it was like one word. He's like, I need one word that encompasses the ministry, that would encourage the saints that are there, because there's thousands of people. I can't be there. And he sent the telegram that they brought, and they had one word from General William Booth for all the congregation. And that word was just read out loud. And the one word it was others. That's why you and I are here, to serve the Lord and to serve others. That doesn't come easy. Like Mark was saying, it comes at a cost. And we can only do it and not become bitter and resentful by asking for the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts, to refresh our minds continually. Or you know what? The darker and the more selfish and self-centered people get, we're just going to want to wash our hands of it, because we don't want to bother with it. But God has a purpose for you. You see, if it's all about you, you would get saved and he'd take you up to heaven. Right? But it's not. He has a mission for you. And that mission is to serve him by serving others. Capiche? It starts off, I'm going to get to Galatians. We'll read the first, we'll read like Galatians 1 through 4 together as a body. And then we'll go through it verse by verse to see what God has to say. Starts off in Galatians 6, 1 to 4. You can read it with me in your Bibles. And it says this. Brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently. But watch yourself, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Each one should test his own actions. Then he can take pride in himself without comparing himself to somebody else. Well, verse 5 says, for each one should carry his own load. So here we go. But I think we're just going to get through four verses, especially after that little intro. And we'll see how we get. So, verse 1. Brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves, or you may also be tempted. The first thing I notice in here is the word brothers, okay? That word is adelphos, and in context, it means brethren. So I there's sometimes people when it says like, hey, brothers, okay, so this is for men. And it's not. It means brethren. It means a fellow believer, adult in Christ, in context. So this could be male, female, young, old, teenager. Doesn't matter. This is for everybody. This is for you if you listen. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit of God has to say. This is for all of us. Adelphos, brethren, fellow believers. He goes on to say, if someone is caught in a sin. Now, this word is really interesting to me. I'm a word guy. And so, to me, that's really interesting. It's the word in Greek is prolambano. And that prolambano is a picture of being caught is good, but figuratively, to be surprised. And the picture is almost like or to be overtaken in a trap of a sin. So I want you to picture in your mind, it may be, for example, in the jungle. I have a slide in a second, but a lion crouching in the grass. And the reason why I'm making a distinction here, because it's brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, the word doesn't mean someone who is obstinate against the Lord. In other words, he's telling us how to handle someone if they've been caught by the enemy or they're stumbling because of their own flesh. Not somebody that says, I don't really want to follow the Lord. I know what he says here. I don't care. We're not talking about a hard-hearted Christian, right? I don't want to hear what the Lord has to say. I don't want to be convicted. I don't care about that stuff. He's not talking about that. He's talking about some of us, like all of us, at one time or another, are stumbling. Right? The enemy has laid out traps for us, right? Could be a trap of unforgiveness, could be a trap of lust, could be a trap, whatever it is for you, right? He lays out traps for us. And that's like almost like the enemy prowls around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And he pounces, right? Perfect. Yeah. Right? So I want you to have that mentality. He's like, yeah, brothers and sisters, if you see another brother or sister that's caught in a sin and like that, and that picture again, prolambano, is you have to realize that it's like this picture. Genesis 4:7 says, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must rule over it by the power of Christ Jesus. Do you got it? So if anyone is caught, or I don't even know if I should use this as an example, but the Hunger Games, okay? If you ever watch the Hunger Games, right? Everything's a trap, you know? I mean, you fall into a hole. Everything is to grab you, right? That's what the enemy is doing for you. Sin is crouching at your door, man. Enemy's wanting to take you over, a brother or a sister. You know, or he's setting traps for you. Psalm 25:15, I think. My eyes are always on the Lord, for he rescues me from the traps of my enemies. He lets down that ladder, lets down that rope. And sometimes God will do it supernaturally. And I love when he does that. And sometimes he'll do it supernaturally through your fellow believer, through a husband, through a wife, through a friend who loves God. Maybe through a brother or sister in a Bible study. Maybe through you. It's almost like a hand reaching out. Or if you watch the Hunger Games, you know, you'd be walking along the bridge, right? And all of a sudden, whoop, you know, it'll give out. You know, the little trap door goes, and you're in the water. And what he's saying, if you're caught in that sin, he's like, I want you, if you're spiritual, I want you to reach down and grab them before they're drowning. The enemy is on them. I want you to grab them and pull them up. And you'll be blessed for doing it. That's what the Bible says. Listen, it says in James 5:19-20, my brothers and sisters, it means, if one of you should wander from the truth, right, whether you're being led off by the enemy or just being a knucklehead, and someone should bring that person back, I want you to remember this. Whoever turns a sinner from that error, from the error of their ways, will not only save them from death, but they'll cover over a multitude of sins. when you care enough to reach down to someone who is struggling or caught in a trap, a lion, you know, a bear trap or something, when you reach down, somebody's drowning, they hit that trap door and you're grabbing at them, right? And you're trying to help them. You're the one that's going to be blessed, God says. Now, does that mean you might get wet? Does that mean you might get bloody? Does that mean you might get dirty? Does that mean you might? Yes, all those things. All those things. But that's how you and I are supposed to be because of Jesus. See, without Jesus, I don't really care. No offense. Without Jesus, I don't care. Can you do anything for me? I don't know if you can't buy. I'm selfish and self-centered. I might write you a check, right? Whatever. But I'm not going to get my hands dirty. I'm not going to continually get my hands dirty. Because it's too much of a hassle for me. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Yet we do it because of Jesus. Right? Poor Chris, you know I care about you. Okay, yeah, thank you. Okay. It was illustration purposes, yeah. It goes on to say, brothers, if someone is caught, prolembano, in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore that person gently. The word spiritual isn't talking about a perfect person. So if you see your brother or sister it's in a sin that's overtaken them, right? You see them going in the wrong direction. It doesn't mean, well, I can't intervene because I don't have the perfect words. I'll have the pastor intervene. No, this is not written to pastors. This isn't Pastor Gary's job. This isn't Pastor Darren's job. This is whose job? Yes, don't say yours. It's my job. You say that. My job. Everybody, whose job is it?
Darren.
Darren's job. No respect to that. If you're caught, if you see someone, brothers and sisters, someone has caught us and you are spiritual, that word is pneumatico. It means somebody who's like not, he's talking about Christian now. That's but a Christian that's, if you're spiritual, that means if you're not walking in the flesh, if you're not walking in the carnal nature, if you're like filled with the Holy Spirit, if you're being governed by God, not that you're perfect, because if you're waiting for the perfect person to help, who here is perfect? Anybody? Nobody. No one will ever help them. But if your heart's for the Lord and you're walking in step with the Holy Spirit, stumbling and all, right? Then you know what? You're the person. And God wants you to reach down and help that person. And that word is pneumatico, and it means living or walking by the Holy Spirit of God. Someone who's spiritual. Some of your translations might even say, brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are walking by the Spirit, it'll say instead of spiritual, or living by the Spirit. Some of your translation, I like that better. But that's what it means. You should restore that person. And it's almost like, if they're having a weak moment, can I tell you something? There are times when I've had a weak moment, and Pastor Gary here, can I see your hand? Pastor Gary has helped me through that mistake, through that weak moment, through that trap of the enemy. Pastor Gary has helped me. Can I tell you what? Some of you have helped me. Hopefully we've helped some of you, and hopefully, but that should be your focus, right? Jesus and others, Jesus and others. It's very easy to be self-focused, isn't it? Very. But God's saying, listen, if you see your brother stumbling and it's in a weak moment, if you're walking in the Spirit and you're strong, I want you to help him. Help him. Don't just say, oh, it's the pastor's job. That's not me. I've already done. I helped 3 people this week. I'm done. No, it's your job. I get it. Lord, fill me with the Spirit because it's my job. Your job, our job. Romans 5:15:1 says, look, if you're walking in step with the Spirit and you're not at that point in a stumble or a trap, falling in a trap of the enemy, then it says, we who are strong ought to bear the failings of the weak and not please ourselves. So we're to be living, right? If we're walking in the Lord and helping other people grow, helping other people know, rescuing them from that trap. That's what we do. Now, if I want to please myself, and there are some times when I have to fight against that, pleasing myself, I just don't want to. But is that the right attitude? No. That's an ungodly attitude. So, Lord, help me with my attitude and help me to help others, expecting nothing in return. Goes on to say, brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore them. That's the heart, is to restore them. Katartizo is the Greek word, katartizo. And it literally means to mend. In Mark 1:19, it says that Jesus, when he was calling his disciples together, right? And it says that he found them and they were katartizoing their nets because they were fishermen and they rip. And so he's like, man, we're mending the nets, right? We're fixing them. It also means to put in order or to repair. In non-biblical, and the Greek word was used in non-biblical terms, it was actually a medical term. And it meant to reset a bone. Have you ever had a bone broken? Okay, you have. Okay. Can I ask you where, since you happen to be up front? Yeah. Where do you?
Broken half right here.
Broken half. Okay. Well, you know what? If you've ever had a broken bone, sometimes that bone sometimes has to be reset. Now, if you've ever watched Mel Gibson, he just slams it back in the wall, but no, most of us go to the hospital. You know what I'm saying? That's not really realistic, right? Okay, yeah, it's a dislocation. Yeah, fair enough. But the point is, you know, that term, katartizo, means to reset a bone. And that means healing, and that means care. And I like old cars, and not as much as like Pastor Gary. Pastor Gary is an old car buff. And so, but when I think of restore, I think of, and I probably shouldn't, but I don't think of a broken bone. I think of taking something that's old, broken down, and spending time with it. Do you know how difficult it is to take an old car? You've got an old Caddy, right? Caddy convertible. Okay, he restored it. I would imagine, Pastor Gary, you took a lot of time. Okay, well, this was a bad example.
It's an unrestored original.
Okay, it's okay.
But you're right, though. To take an unrestored car, you need to take the body off the frame. You strip it down to bare metal. You take every nut and bolt off, all the wiring. It's hundreds of hours.
Yes. And the point that we're trying to make with the restoration is when you're helping someone, when you're trying to restore them, they take a lot of time. But God is saying, I want you to do that. I'm saying that they're valuable. I'm saying that you need to stop and take the time to do that. Or make the time to do that. So I want you to restore it. So I use this 1 Peter 5:10. It says, and the God of grace, this is the same word here, katartizo, down here. It says, and the God of grace who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while with helping all these people, doing all this stuff, blah, blah, blah. He says, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. Restored. So brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should spend that time, that effort, and restore that person. And it says to restore that person gently. That's a fruit of the Spirit. Now, can I tell you something? That's not my nature normally. I'm not gentle normally. See all the self-control I'm using in this service? The point I'm trying to make is that's why he says you who are spiritual, because if you're not walking in step with the Holy Spirit, you know how you're going to do that? See your friends caught in a sin? What are you, stupid? You know better. Are you an idiot? Yeah.
He needed that sometimes.
Yeah. You know, sometimes you will need a correction. Sometimes you will need a rebuke, especially if you have a hard heart. Especially if you have a hard heart. But can I tell you something? as a person who just is very familiar with spending time in the hospital these last couple of years, for a long period of time, let me tell you what I don't like. Let me tell you what you don't want. If you're hurting and you're in pain, you don't want Attila the Hun Nun. Attila the Hun Nun. Attila, sorry. You don't want that either. The Attila the Hun nurse. You don't want that. I don't care what you think. Let me tell you, it hurts you. Let me tell you. That's my Catholic background, yeah. With the ruler, let me tell you. The bloody knuckles. Listen, you don't want that. You want somebody who's kind and caring. I'm hurting through no fault of my own. This is just, you want somebody who's going to, hey, you know, I want to take time with you. I care about you. You don't want somebody that's like, you know, the brutal physical therapy. Get your butt up. Well, it's been 3 hours since you've had your kidney removed. Get going. Come on. What kind of a man are you? I can't move. Hernia ripped on top of it. You know, it says to restore that person gently. That word in Greek is praotes. And that means with the spirit of meekness. And that's strength under control. Meekness isn't weakness. It's actually strength. It's power, strength under control. It's not like you couldn't say, you knucklehead, what are you doing? He's saying, I want you to stoop down, to care, to tend the wound, to reset the bone, whatever it is, you know. I want you to do it gently, with humility, not like the legalists would have done, not self-righteously. And I saw a hand go up. I don't know where the mic is, so whoever has the mic, oh, thank you, Chris. Would you bring it back to Dana back there, and we will hear what the Lord has to say. While he's bringing it back there, you know, the Bible says to do this gently, and here's why, because that's God's heart. He says in Isaiah 42:3, he says, a bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he won't snuff out. In other words, if somebody is damaged and injured, that bruised reed, it's not like God's going to be like, forget you, I'm going to go on. No, he's going to take extra care of that brokenness. He has a heart for that. He wants us to do things gently. Even Paul, when he was talking to the Corinthians, and they were doing some knucklehead stuff, he's like, what do you prefer? Shall I come and to you and discipline you with a rod, kapow, and bring the hammer? Or shall I come in love and with a gentle spirit, right? Now, again, there's going to be times when you correct and rebuke. If somebody's got a hard heart, a prideful heart, sometimes, quite frankly, the little thing in the face, they need it. But most of the time, when most of us really have a heart for the Lord and we're just trapped or we're in our flesh and we're broken, we really need somebody to give us a hug. Someone to come around us, tell us we love you. Someone says, oh, let me sit with you. Let me listen to you. Let me encourage you. Let me text you. Let me call you. Let me meet with you. Let me blah, blah, blah. You get it? Even if people are opposing you, right? It even says, as us Christians, to gently instruct those who oppose the truth. Perhaps God will change these people's hearts and they'll learn the truth. It's a spirit of gentleness, and you can't do that without the Lord, otherwise you get frustrated. Dana.
Now all I need to say is amen.
Okay. Well, that works out perfect.
you hit on that. When the attitude is prideful and public, there's time for rebuke.
Oh, but
it's not when a person is just caught in a sin.
Exactly. Yes. That's good word. You're absolutely right. So he says, after he says, brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore them gently. And then the last thing he says in that verse, he says, but I want you to watch yourselves. Watch out, or you may be tempted. And honestly, I don't even know how to say this, but sometimes when you're helping people, counseling people, sitting with people, my friend is a cop, and as a police officer or tech, you know, you see everything, all the stuff that most people don't. You see everybody at their worst. You know what I'm saying? You come back feeling terrible. And sometimes as pastors, usually when people call, usually, not always, It's usually when they're struggling. When they're doing good, they're just fine. They're sitting here. They're, yeah, man, praise the Lord. It's when they... And so sometimes when you're counseling people, I'm really struggling with this. I've learned the hard way. Sometimes I don't want... You hear everything. There's nothing you can tell. I shouldn't say that. In my mind, there's... Yeah, I know. There's almost nothing that you can say to me that would shock me. Because as a pastor, you hear it all, right? However, I remember some years back, somebody said something that we were counseling, and I was like, I don't see how that could be a stumbling block. So you know what I did? Boop, 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 boop. Let me Google it. It's easy to get hooked. So you have to make sure, you know how it's else when you're counseling someone and they're just mad and they're venting and they're angry, right? Now that's some of that is a lot of an emotion. Sometimes they don't know the whole story. In fact, what I would say is many times people don't know the whole story and they assume in their head. So they get all angry and mad and blah, blah, blah. And then what happens? The person who's counseling them, well, I can totally see your point. That's why when marriage counseling, there's always two sides to a story. Always. Now, you hear the first story, that makes absolute sense. I can't believe she did that. I can't believe he did that. I can't believe your kid did that. Your friend. And then you hear the other side of the story. Oh, that makes a little bit more sense. Now I see what you're saying. Huh. You somewhere in the middle. So... you just have to be careful not to join that bandwagon. If you're frustrated and you're talking to Chris at the worship and I'm so frustrated with blah, 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 and then you just walk away, well, that was genuine frustration. But all they're hearing is how frustrated you are. Oh, my goodness, you need to stop ministering to people. It's terrible. Oh, daily. They might not hear all the good. Do you see what I'm saying? You can get caught in a sin very easily. So you who are spiritual... restore them. The Bible says it's we can all fall. So don't think you can't. The Bible says in Corinthians 10:12, if you think you're standing firm, you don't have any issues, that's when you stumble, that's when you fall. And there have been times where I thought, I've gone into a counseling, this is easy, I've done it a million times, and it'll be something I'm like, well, I've never, I actually remember that specifically one time. I thought, I don't even need to think about it. We've counseled so many people, I got it. I actually thought that right before I went in and sat down, and then they asked me something. I didn't know how to answer. I was like, the Lord was like, humbling you right now. Take heed, whoa, lest you fall. Look in your Bibles in Galatians 6:2. It says, hey, the next verse in here. It says, carry each other's burdens, and in this way, you'll fulfill the law of Christ. Do you see that? Galatians 6:2. And I made this little slide. So we're all carrying our own burdens, but it actually, God wants us to carry other people's burdens. That seems like a lot of work. It is. And if you're just doing it for yourself or for your wife or for your kid or for your job, it's not worth it. You have to remember, who do you serve, Maggie? Who do you serve? That's it. You don't ultimately serve your children, your husband, your friends, your church. Your first obligation is to the Lord. So, Lord, what do you want me to do? And then empower me to do it. And then no matter what comes, hell or high water, I'm going to do it. Does that make sense? We live in a culture that, you hand somebody a feather. Oh, so heavy. Can't do it, Pastor. Yeah, it's going to take about an extra half hour. Half hour. Oh, I can't do it. You want me to do what? Tithe? 10%, I'll never, whatever it is, You have to do what the Lord calls you to do first. Whatever that is, whatever he puts on your heart, whatever, whoever he's showing you to help. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you fulfill the law of Christ. And he'll empower you to do it if he's leading you to do it. And the assumption behind that command that you just read there is that all of us have burdens, and God doesn't want us to carry it alone. He doesn't. I realize, well, I shouldn't say that. For me, I want to be the island Christian. Island, no. What I mean by island Christian is not like Yaman. I want to be, I'm good. Me and God are good. I feel good with the Lord. So I don't really, you guys all do your own thing, right? I'm just going to sit here, me and the Lord, we're going to have a muffin and some tea. And I'm good. But is that what God's called me to do? No, you knucklehead. Get out there. Serve. Jesus washed people's feet. If you're here in this body, can I just tell you something? This is not a manipulation to get you. He's not only calling you to learn and grow, he's calling you to serve. Now, that doesn't mean you have to serve in an official capacity or something. It may. Ask him. But maybe he just wants you to befriend somebody, encourage somebody, give to somebody, whatever the case may be. Paul doesn't say, I want you to tolerate one another's burdens. Like, you know what I mean? Like, well, there's, can I use you? You know, I'll tolerate Clayton when I see him, but it's about, I'll put up with him, but that's about all I can do. I'm honoring you, Lord, you know, Clayton. Doesn't say
that a lot.
But that's not what he wants you to do. He says, I want you to help carry or bear one another's burdens. And in Greek, that word carry or bear is the present imperative. And why, who cares? I'll tell you why. Because it means that it's the habit of every spiritual person is to be doing this. In other words, on a regular basis. You can't think it's Neely's job to do stuff or Lisa's job to do stuff. It's your job. And it's so much easier for you to go, oh, she's not doing what she should be doing. You don't know that she's doing 10 bazillion things. You have no clue. You don't know he's doing 100 things. You don't know that he's giving far beyond what anybody else in this church is giving. You don't know. You don't know what they're doing at home. You have no idea many times. It means that present imperative means that every spiritual person in practice means this is what you do. And we can only do that by depending on the Holy Spirit. Lord, help me to do this. Help me to help carry this person's burden. Give me the right heart attitude, Lord. Show me who you... Now, that doesn't mean everybody you see you have to do everything for, because there's some people like that. Ask the Lord, do you want me to do this? Do you not want me to do this? And finally, that word burdens, carry each other burdens. It means in Greek, it's a crushing weight, baro, or baros, actually. And it talks about, in secular writing, it talks about heavy grief or heavy troubles or misery. And he's like, that's what I want you to carry. Carry each other's burdens. And the loads we carry to help others' burden, that includes not only instructing younger believers, and that doesn't mean age-wise, just where you're at in their walk, but it also means encouraging stumbling saints. It would also include, and we wrote this down so I wouldn't forget, and these are just some things. This is not an exhaustive list, but this is what we're supposed to be doing for one another. We can only do this by asking Jesus, help me to have this attitude. But that means comforting others, comforting the grieving, that grief share, or even just talking to somebody. It means visiting with people, talking with people, texting people, the sick, the lonely, assisting those who are in financial straits, counseling those who are struggling, guidance in the word to help them grow and become strong so they can help others. Sometimes it just means some things like listening, caring, connecting to others. There are sometimes, Natalie, people are going to listen to what you have to say when they won't listen to me, or maybe they'll receive a prayer from you because you're younger than the slightly older Pastor Darren. Maybe they'll listen to you, Lynn, because you have experience in a certain area. Maybe they'll listen to you, Gary, because you're a snappy dresser. I don't know. Whatever it is. Do you see what I'm saying? It's not. It's us together, others. You are the ministers of this church. You, Tony, are the minister of this church. You. You, Miriam. Do you know why we did this Ukraine thing? Because you said, hey, you know what? I'm feeling like the Lord's saying maybe we should do something for the Ukraine. Why don't you pray about it? We pray about it? Yeah. You are the ministers. Now, if you're not here, or you're not serving, or you're not helping, you're not doing your job. I'm not being mean. I'm not attacking you, you understand, right? It's all of our jobs. Now, again, this is not a guilt manipulation thing. Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Fill each one of us with your Holy Spirit that we can do what you're asking us to do. And that burden I have right here is not a legal obligation, as it goes far beyond the demands of the law. It's motivated by his grace and love and is the obedience to the new law of liberty. In other words, you're fulfilling the law of Christ because we're doing it out of love, not because I have to do it. Oh, this Jesus thing is so hard. Oh, he's wanting me to be nice to others. Hi, Mary Kate. Really nice to see you. Oh, didn't even take my hand, huh? I knew it. These Christians, they're all. You see what I'm saying? It's motivated by love. So whether I get the response that I want or I thought I should get or I need, you know what? I have to give that to Christ and say, you know what? If I'm the spiritual one, not in a prideful way, but if I'm one that's walking in step with the Holy Spirit, I have to just let that go and wash their feet anyway. There's sometimes Chris has been a pill and I have to wash his feet. But you know what? There's other times that Chris, that I've been a pill and Chris has had to wash my feet. Mark, without killing anyone, can you hand me that spear behind you? Maybe I'm asking the wrong person to do that. Anthony, yeah, pass it off to Anthony. No. I don't think tossing it would probably be the best, but maybe handing it gently. Thank you, Anthony. Spear up. Thanks. Hey. All right. This is a Roman pilar. Thank you, brother. You're going to stand up here for a second. Stand up here. This is a Roman. This is the weapon of a Roman soldier. Okay. It's not. It's a replica, but it's still heavy. Now, Roman soldiers would have to carry heavy burdens wherever they went. That armor, you know, when it talks about the armor of God, the sword of the Spirit, sometimes I'll let the kids hold a replica of a sword and its weight, and it's like, wow, it's heavy. Or a shield, the replica of the shield, it weighs much less, it's heavy. The armor, I tried putting it on for youth a few years back, heavy. And you have to carry around that plus all your backpack and all your stuff wherever they went. So the law was, right, if you're walking along, you see Citizen Joe here, or Citizen Anthony here, and I go up, and as a Roman soldier, I tap him on the shoulder. You know what he has to do? By law, he has to carry all my stuff for a mile, for an entire mile. You know what? And if Anthony's on his way to the doctor to get something or a store to get something for his wife or kids, you know what that means? Too bad. I'm tapping him on the shoulder. By law, you carry all my stuff. That was the law. And that's why, and this is important. That's why Jesus said, and he said this in Matthew. He said, Matthew 5:41, he says, and whoever compels you to go with them 1 mile, I want you to do this. So after the 1 mile of carrying all the stuff in the middle of your day, and there's no buses, you're having to do this. The Roman soldier is probably twice your size, right? He's like, take it. Now, you're done with the mile, right? And the Roman soldier's like, yeah, I got this guy to carry my stuff for me. And then you're like, you know what? Hey, I've got a lot of stuff to do, but you know, let me double that. Let me just carry it all for you. 2 miles. What? You should be angry with me. You should be resentful of me. And this is an enemy. They hated the Romans, God's people, for oppressing them. And if God's saying, I think you did a good job. You can put that back. Better be a good sermon. My point is this. If God is saying to you, right? If Jesus is saying, listen, if this is what he's saying about his enemies, how much more your brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus? Listen, does that make sense? How much more your brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus? And you might need a recharge. You might need to get with the Lord and ask him, recharge my batteries, okay? Like your phone and helping others. 1 Thessalonians 5:14 says this, and we urge you, brothers and sisters, I want you to warn those who are idle and disruptive, but I want you to help carry the burdens. He says, I want you to encourage the disheartened. I want you to help the weak. And I want you to be patient with everyone. Does that make sense? Yes, you have a question. I don't know where the mic is. So, thank you. Yeah, sorry. And we do this for the folks at home. So go ahead. And then Pastor Gary, how long have I been teaching? I got to close up, yeah.
Do you have a few words on the opposite of that? Like people that have been raised in the church, they kind of have a good idea of reaching out to others and helping others, but they almost never receive help. And I feel like some of the times those people are the ones who go down because they're, I don't know, too proud or they don't want to burden people, so they go out that way.
Mm. Ouch. Yep. Nope, I realize you didn't name that at me. Sometimes, some of us, can I be honest? I've got no problem in helping other people. I'm learning this, though, just to receive help, blessings. I'm learning to receive that. And because I know how good it feels when I bless somebody. And so I think God wants us all to have humble hearts, whether we're ministering to people or getting ministered to. And so I think that's another way for me to think of others ahead of myself. You see, when Clayton offers to do something to help me, right? My first inclination is, nah, it's all right. I got it. I'm good. But if I'm really thinking of others, maybe God's put that on his heart. And maybe I need to just humble myself and receive it. And then usually what happens is when I do that, not only am I blessed, but he's blessed. So if I'm really thinking of others, I need to let him do that for me. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And for some of you who feel like it's your job to do everything, can I tell you what? Maybe you need to pray and ask God to stop. Because you're doing everything, someone else isn't stepping up to the plate. Oh, well, they'll just handle it. Lisa will just handle it. Neely will just handle it. Gary will just handle it. Darren will just handle it. Pastor Darren. Well, maybe he wants you to handle it so that I can put them in another area and have them do some more stuff elsewhere. So maybe you pray and say, does God really want you to do this? Because maybe I want other people to step up and help. The last... If anyone said verse 3, let me just close it out then. Let me just close it out in verse 3. If any, Lord, no. Okay, you know what? Apparently I'm not going to do that. So we're going to stop here. We did Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 through 2. We'll have to do more next week. 1 through 2. It made it sound like it was, you know, we got 1 through 2. Thank you. That was really wonderful. Thank you, guys. Yes, can somebody hand him a mic before we close out in prayer? Thank you. And then it'll give me a chance to take a drink before I pray. And thank you, Chris.
Very quickly, all of the things that we've talked about here today are wonderful, but the best way that we can receive from each other and to help one another is to be here. We have to be part of the fellowship, or we're robbing ourselves and we're robbing others. Absolutely right.
Yes. Yes. Okay, one more. It's all right. If you guys got stuff to say, we want to hear it. Yeah, pass it back there. Would you mind bringing it all the way back? Thank you so much. Yeah, that's all right. We would love to hear from you. If anybody else has something to say, you're welcome.
Again, quickly, today's unscriptural watchword is, I don't want to get involved. And that is a very unscriptural attitude. Also, I was reminded, as you were talking about our being ministers.
Yes.
All right. Your purpose here, Pastor Darren, as you know.
Yes, sir.
From Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 and 12, is for the preparing and equipping of
the saints,
all of
the work
us,
of the ministry.
The saints, to get involved in serving others in ministry.
Yes.
And to build up the body of Christ.
Yes, absolutely. So that you guys can minister to others. Amen?
Amen.
All right, let's pray. And Father, I just want to say thank you for each and every person that's here today, Lord. All the people that watch online, Lord, now or later or whatever. Lord, I'm just so thankful for them, Lord God. I'm so thankful for your heart for us. I'm so thankful for your word for us, Lord God. Lord, I just pray if there's nothing else, we'll leave today with others on our mind, Lord God, that you would help us, give us a mindset to do and to restore and to carry others' burdens and to do it because we know and love you, Lord God. So fill each person here, Lord God, with your Holy Spirit and help them to become the ministers that you've designed them to be, Lord God. And then help us to minister together more as a body so that we can reach more and more people for you, Lord, and equip the saints for the work of the ministry. I ask for your blessing on these people in that way specifically, Lord, others. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. God bless you guys. Have a great week in Jesus' name.